Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to be jumping into the characteristics of a mentor. So this is an excellent addition to if you've attended one of our workshops. We touch lightly on topics, and what we're doing with these podcasts is really taking a deep dive into the content, expounding on it. And so it's great for a first-time listen. It's great as a supplement if you've been a workshop attendee. So today we're going to be covering what we would in the workshop in session 3, and it's entitled Characteristics of a Mentor. Chris, why are people reluctant to say, yeah, I'm going to mentor somebody?
Well, I think some people would assume that people aren't reluctant. What a great idea to be a mentor to someone else. But we have found in our work over the years, people really are reluctant. And here's some, there are other reasons, but here's a short list that we've come up with in our experience. So many times people are reluctant to become a mentor because they think these things. I don't meet people well. What comes to your mind when you hear that?
A high introvert.
Okay. So introverts, if you are an introvert, obviously, God's made you that way.
Yeah.
It's not, mentoring is not about being an extrovert. So let's just clarify that from the beginning. I don't have any professional experience, Christina.
Join the rest of us. But automatically, when you slap the word mentor in front of people, they're thinking, oh, that's a professional thing. And it's not. It's not at all.
We do it professionally. It's our career, so it's professionally. But guys, this material, we lead a mentoring nonprofit called Fahrenheit Real Life Mentoring. It's not about helping people be professional mentors. We want people of all walks of life, different ages, different backgrounds, to be able to be an effective mentor. So it's not a label, it's not a title, it's not a profession that we're talking about. I don't have anything to offer, Christina. That's another objection.
Yeah, I remember probably 5-ish years ago, we were attending a local church, and there was an older man that we both just thought, oh my goodness, he should be giving his life away. He should be pouring and meeting, pouring into other young men's lives and meeting with men on a regular basis. And we were both shocked at his response when he was like, well, I don't have anything to offer. You know, and at the time he was probably in his mid-70s, tons of life experience. And I'm thinking, you just talking about what you prayed this morning is lots of life experience. But that was a misconception he had. Yeah.
What's interesting, I've seen him actually do some aspects of mentoring.
He does.
And he didn't realize what he was doing.
He was doing, yeah.
And so I think I encouraged him one time. I said, look, then get rid of the word. If the word mentor bothers you, get rid of it. And guys, this is what we do. But if the word mentor, set it aside for a little bit. And so I don't have anything to offer. Think about your past. Think about your experiences. Think about your struggles and challenges. Think about your gifts and talents. That's just the very beginning. You have things to offer just from that set of characteristics.
Yeah. Another common objection or why maybe people are reluctant is they say, well, I have my own struggles and challenges. What do you say to that, Chris?
I say good.
Yeah.
I'm not glad that you have struggles or challenges, but
you're
actually
human.
It does change us. It develops us if we let it. And you are relatable to people if you have struggles and challenges. Imagine this scenario, guys. You sit down with a person and they want to mentor you and they come across very professional. It's not a bad thing. And you start talking to them about your challenges and struggles, and they look at you and go, okay, well, I'm sorry that's happened, but they don't share anything with you. You could go away from that appointment, that time, that conversation rather, and go, I don't think they relate to me. Every time I've opened up with another man through mentoring and talked about struggles or challenges, it's like the light bulb comes on for these guys. It's like they're able to exhale and go, you are real, you're human. Okay, I think we have something in common.
Well, we probably should have said this at the beginning, but today's audience is really the listener out there who's going, gosh, I really like the concept, but I don't know that I could do it. Today is for you. So we're going to talk about really what's required to be a mentor. I think the biggest misconception, like we talked about, we want to dispel. Mentors are just real people like you and me. The only difference is a mentor steps up to say, hey, I want my life to count. I'm going to personally impact the life of another person. So you don't need any prior experience. You use your personality, where you're introvert, extrovert, how God made you. You just need a willingness to gain a few tools. You use your own personality, your own life experience, your own struggles. You can be a mentor. Yeah.
Christine, are you a more effective mentor today than you were 10 years ago?
Sure.
I am too. Guys, that is how life works. If you go into, let's say, the profession of teaching, you're a better teacher 10 years later than you were when you first started.
Right.
Whatever your profession is, I think about driving a car. Think about, remember how detailed you were when you were first learning?
Sure. Ten and two.
You checked everything and you were probably paranoid. Okay, I can't listen to music while I'm driving.
Yeah.
At some point, driving becomes so natural, so second nature, almost to maybe to a fault.
Right.
Is that we don't even realize what we're doing.
Right.
So mentoring, actually, guys, at some point can become that way as you learn.
So we often pose this question. It may seem counterproductive to what we just said, but can anyone be a mentor? We used to say, yep, anybody can be a mentor. However, what we've kind of discovered over the years that there needs to be a willingness on the part of a mentor to make a positive impact in somebody's life, but not just anyone can be a mentor. You want to expound on that?
Something clicked for me. A number of years ago, I was thinking about our three daughters, and I thought, can anyone be a mentor? And I used to say yes. And I realized I don't want just anyone mentoring my daughters.
Yeah, sure.
And so I thought, wow, so what do I want? I want someone who chooses to be healthy spiritually, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah.
Because those things impact relationships, and they impact other areas of a person's life.
Right. Not perfection, but somebody who's learning, who's willing. So let's just look into some things that make a good mentor. Obviously, someone who likes people, that seems like a given. But a good mentor is somebody who generally likes people.
Do you like people?
It depends on the person. No. I do like people, yeah.
We can joke about that, but guys, some people don't like being around people.
Yeah.
If you are that type, I don't know why it would be that way, but maybe you are, then maybe you're not a mentor.
Yeah.
But to not like people, that's a whole nother topic, I think.
Yeah.
So I love getting to know people. I like love hearing their stories. So here's a thought. You want to be a mentor? Sit down with someone and just start asking them some of their story. And what you're going to find, I think, is you're going to like that person, because you're going to get to know them a little bit better. The more I know people, the more I like them.
Well, somebody who listens well, a good mentor maybe has fewer words than a mentee. Not always, but they need to listen. And sometimes listening involves listening to what is not being said. That's a whole podcast probably of how to listen well. But a good mentor is somebody who's listened. And this kind of goes along with it. They're not afraid to ask hard questions or challenging questions.
If you woke up this morning and I told you, Christina, I'm going to ask you some challenging questions.
Oh, I'd go back to bed.
Okay. That's probably part of our nature.
Right.
But when you have a trusted relationship with mentoring, between the mentor and the mentee, you can ask them hard questions. You go, wait a minute, they really want the best for me. Mm-hmm. So when they ask me a hard question, or they ask me, what's the other thing you said?
They're not afraid to ask
hard questions. Ask hard questions. It's not to make me feel less. It's actually to help me, help them understand me better.
And hard questions, I think we automatically go to the negative. Hard questions for me, by me having the bravery to ask some hard questions of two specific women in my life, how they have responded has made me more intentional about asking hard questions. So both of these young women that are in my life, I had some concern in some areas, and when I asked them about that concern, which is naturally more difficult for me, because we have a long track record, right? We have this relational equity. I trust them, both of them, with my life. They trust me. And so when I was able to ask some questions that were a little bit thought-provoking, harder questions, their response was, wow, you really love and care for me, that you're willing to go there.
To ask the hard question.
Yeah.
But we do run a risk of someone rejecting us.
Sure.
If we do that, because they may go, you know, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And they push away.
So let me speak to the people who are in my generation. I'm 55. So if you're around my age or older, I don't think that we had good examples of older people asking us hard questions. We were either spoken at or told to do something. And younger generations, they really appreciate the harder questions, especially when there's been a long investment in the relationship.
Here would be, this is a hard question, but not a good, healthy, not hard question. I could ask you, Christina, why do you act so rude when you're stressed? Okay, don't do that.
No.
We may think that.
Right.
We may notice. Okay, I noticed.
Again, this is a whole other podcast right. about how to ask a hard question.
When this person gets stressed, they're rude. What yeah. if I were to say, you know what, Christina, I've noticed when right. you're in certain situations, I think your stress level rises mm-hmm. and you get tense. What do you think's going on with that?
Yeah.
See what
I, right.
It's not as harsh.
Yeah.
But it also, it's basically asking the same question.
Right. Well, let's circle back around to what makes a good mentor. Someone who's intentional about meeting with a mentee. I have had a track record before of women who I thought, oh, I'm going to get some time with them and this is going to be an ongoing thing. And it was one, and yeah, let's get together again, and never happened. So a good mentor is someone who's really intentional. If you say, hey, I want to show up, then show up and be intentional about meeting with a mentee.
I don't think we covered this one. What makes a good mentor? You see the value in sharing your life experience with another.
Yeah,
just spending some time together. Guys, that part's not complicated. Have good conversations, but sometimes just spend some time with that person you're mentoring. That makes a good mentor because you're showing value to that person
right.
by your time.
I think something that makes a really good mentor is someone who continues to learn and grow and develop themselves. You'd ask me that question, have I grown in my mentoring the last 10 years? Yes, because I'm continuing to learn. I'm always in a position of learning something new. We've made reference to before to our dear friend, Rachel Hartman, who now is probably 95, 6.
Probably so.
And as long as we've known her for over 25 plus years, she signs her notes, her emails, a child of God. She's always positioned herself as in a learning position.
I'm
always learning. I'm the child. He's a good father. I'm always learning. And I just think that's a great characteristic for a mentor to develop.
Well, and you can actually tell your mentee, if they've taught you something, and they probably will,
mm-hmm.
verbalize that. So yeah. You know what? You've really helped me to see that differently, or I've never thought about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for helping me to understand that.
Well, these two women in my life that I spoke of, they've given me courage to ask or to go to certain places maybe I wouldn't naturally go because I've seen the benefit of how it's developed our relationship for the better. So a good mentor is someone who chooses transparency and vulnerability. When we share as a mentor, we're just real and honest. We don't project ourselves as somebody who has all the answers. Oh, it gives hope to a mentee. It really does.
And don't stress it. Let's say you've met with someone you're mentoring two or three times, and that hasn't come about.
Right. Transparency over time.
Or vulnerability. That comes over time because that takes trust and confidence, actually, yeah. in the relationship.
Yeah.
One that I've added in the past, what makes a good mentor? Someone who's willing to let their comfort zone be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
So as a mentor, I go, well, I'm comfortable in this area. I'm confident in this area. I can do this and this. And then something is presented to me. I go, well, that's out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I have two choices.
Yeah.
I can push back and not go there. Or I can go, you know what? It's time for me to let that comfort zone of mine
mm-hmm.
be expanded so I can step into that, learn something new. And if I'm not careful, my personality will try to force people out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean well, but that doesn't work well, guys.
Get out of here.
You know, if you try to force someone out of their comfort zone, it's like, I'm afraid of heights, as we've talked, I think, on the podcast before.
You don't like to be pushed out of that comfort zone.
It freaks me out. So that gives me compassion for people to go, okay, that's their comfort zone. I don't need to try to force anything.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about what makes a good mentor.
Right. So we can go on and on. And in fact, we do have several podcasts about just some real specific characteristics of a good mentor. But when we boil it down, we kind of have come up with three that we think are kind of key or core characteristics that a good mentor has. And we've touched on it lightly, but the first we would say a genuine love for people. A mentor sees that life is not about their 82 years on earth, taking up space and getting the good job and the money and whatever, but that life is your legacy lives on in the people with whom you invest in. And so having a genuine love for people, again, we take a biblical worldview because Jesus invested in others because he loved us so much. He gave his life away to people. We're emulating that as good mentors who also follow Jesus. Yeah.
In the New Testament, in the Bible, Matthew 22, I think it's verses 38 and 39. You can check your reference on that. But Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second, he says, is basically the same. Love others as yourself. So I thought about that. Love, I need to love other people as I love myself. I know what makes me feel loved, and I know what doesn't make me feel loved. So if I have any doubt, I want someone to listen to me well. I want someone to care about me and understand me, know my story. Those are different aspects that make me feel loved by another person. So what if I do that for someone else? And when we say a genuine love for people, find out what stirs them. Find out what's important to them.
Yeah, that's good. The second thing we would say is that a good mentor, one of the key characteristics of a good mentor is they're a genuine conversationalist. Now, I'm such a visual person. Visual images help me grasp concepts, but we like to think of conversations as a tennis match. So one person lobs the ball over the court.
Lobs? What is that?
I don't know.
Is that a real word?
Is that a word?
I would say hits the ball.
Well, that's your personality. Anyway,
I'm going to check that out later.
They serve the ball.
Okay.
The other person returns, and a good conversation is like a good tennis match. It's back and forth, back and forth.
And so yes and no answers don't cut it at some point.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody who's willing to get the ball rolling, literally or figuratively.
Or to lob the ball. I'm a ball lobber.
But why on conversations? Because a good conversation has the power to lead a mentee into discovery. A good conversation has the power to build stronger relationships. And yeah, you referenced yes and no questions don't cut it. But when you ask a good question, you're giving the opportunity for the mentee to self-examine, to look at themselves, to maybe look at something a little bit different. But a good mentor is a great conversationalist. And that's a trait that can be learned.
It is, and the mentor can say, now, as the mentee, I want you to, you have the right to ask me the very same questions.
Exactly, right.
And I'm going to learn at the same time.
Right. And then we say that a good mentor really is a learner. We kind of touched on this before, but I think people go, well, I'm not learning anything. I think if you graduated from high school, if you took a job that didn't fit you, if you dated somebody and it went horribly wrong, every experience in life is a learning opportunity. And so positioning yourself as a learner really is key, I think, to making a good mentor.
Being a learner is like being transparent, being honest, to go, you know what? I tried this and I failed at it. If I could back up, I would have done this, but I didn't know. And so, you know, the mentee doesn't have to make all the mistakes you made.
Right.
They're going to make their own.
Right.
But As a mentor, if I continue to be a learner, I go, this is what I've learned in my years on this planet. I want to help you not have to make all the same mistakes.
Right. We like to say that staying curious as a mentor helps you to continue to learn as you discover more about yourself and your mentee. Just stay curious. Yeah. Anything else as we kind of wrap up the characteristics from session three?
Give yourself some credit. You have the potential to be an incredibly effective mentor. We will give you some tools, listen to the podcast, we'll help you in some other areas, but be careful that you don't give yourself a list of why you can't do it.
Yeah. So we hope today was helpful to you. Again, our target audience is that listener who's going, gee, I don't know if I have this in me. We think that you do. And we think that you can develop some things to help you be a good mentor because it's worth it. There are people around you who need you, who need your influence, who need your time and your conversations. Thanks for listening today as we talked about the characteristics of a mentor. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, would you subscribe and share it with somebody who you might think would be interested? And if you'd like to contribute to the production of podcasts like this, then check out our website at FahrenheitMentoring.org. There's a podcast tab. Just click on that and donate. As always, we're Chris and Christina. Thank you for listening. Like this.